Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention, with your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention and ADHD coach, Jeff Copper. Tonight, we're going to talk about ADHD parents and brainstorming, a powerful tool. And with us in our virtual studio is Caroline McGuire. She's an ADHD coach specializing in coaching coaching parents to move forward. Real quickly, tonight is it's Tuesday, September the 6th, the year 2016 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Let's get right to announcements so we can get to the meat of the show. The 2016 annual CHAD conference is around the corner. This year it's in Costa Mesa, California, November 10th through the 12th. You can learn more about the conference by going to chadd.org. I booked my tickets over the weekend and I'm all fired up to go. You can go online, you can find all kinds of information, but if you listen to the show and you know me, I advocate, you need to go to the conference. There's nothing like hooking up with your tribe. I tell this story often. One year I saw Dr. Barkley giving a presentation on sluggish cognitive tempo. After it was over with, he stood there for every last question, took him an hour and a half after the presentation. Nowhere else can you get that kind of touch and experience than at the CHAD conference, et cetera. We'd also like to thank CHAD. They're a long-term supporter and sponsor of Attention Talk Radio, and tonight's show is actually being brought to them, so they have a little tip for you we're going to share with you right now.
Why are older adults the fastest-growing population to be diagnosed with ADHD? Is there such a thing as adult-onset ADHD? Get answers to your questions at CHAD's annual conference. Are you one of the many women with ADHD who've spent years hiding symptoms? Step out of the shadows at CHAD's annual conference on ADHD in Costa Mesa, California, this November. Register at chad.org. That's chadd.org.
All right, everybody. Again, conference is coming up around the corner, which, by the way, we're having a special show. I believe it's October the 5th. To kind of preview the show, we interviewed a couple keynote speakers, and one of them was the inspiration to the movie Jerry Maguire. Lee Steinberg. We actually did an interview with him, and we'll actually run it during the October 5th show to kind of preview, because he's a keynote on Thursday night to kind of kick off the conference, along with Susan Smalley and a few others. So mark your calendars, go check that out. So let's get into tonight. Caroline McGuire is certified as a personal coach for children with ADHD and their families. Her revolutionary coaching program teaches executive functioning skills to children, teenagers, and young adults. She's a speaker at worldwide venues. She's a former coach at the Hollowell Center in Sudbury, Massachusetts, where she was the main coach for children and teens and co-led social skills groups and consulted with local schools. Caroline is a founder of NewEnglandCoaching.com. And with all that, Caroline, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
So this is like one of those shows that was kind of born out of necessity that you never thought you'd do, but landed in your lap. We are so much about paying attention to attention, and brainstorming to me is really very much an attention exercise that, you know, Caroline, I'm not so sure people talk about outcomes. Hey, brainstorming produces this incredible thing, this out-of-box solution. We all love those types of things, but nobody ever talks about the process of how you actually brainstorm. It's like you come into a room and somebody says, okay, brainstorm. And then everybody locks up and they get frozen. And so today the idea is we want to talk about that process a little bit, maybe some coaching games a little bit to kind of help unearth that, because at the end of the day, those with ADHD have atypical or the neuroatypical brains, and those traditional solutions don't work. And sometimes you have to look at some other places. So are you ready to have some fun tonight?
I am. I think as a parent coach, I think it's a great time of year to do this, because we're all facing those homework things that came home and filled with dread, and we need a little brainstorming.
So let's just talk, what is brainstorming to you? I mean, when somebody says that, maybe what was your sense of it years ago? Maybe what's your sense now? Let's just kind of talk around that space a little bit to kind of open things up.
Well, I think brainstorming to me means openly accepting any idea and just doing an information dump. What's an idea you could do? And just anything that comes into mind as a strategy, as a solution, as an idea, without putting any boundaries on it and then culling it down from there to maybe, you know, ideas that could really work in the real world. But also understanding that sometimes the thought that you have that comes when you sort of let loose is, you know, maybe a better solution, better strategy.
So I'll let you said openly accept any idea, which I think is powerful. I mean, I like that. Openly accept any idea, because the idea is you're trying to get new ideas, because if the old ideas worked, then you wouldn't have the need to brainstorm. And although I think you fell into a trap, openly accept any ideas of what you can do, because to me that at the end just kind of closes it down, because when you start bringing outcome into it, it squelches creativity a little bit. So I say that too, because it's an automatic response a little bit. But I think it's really the brainstorming process is to openly accept almost any idea or almost any possibility, even if it's not doable, for the sake of coming up with ideas. Because later in the process, I think you filter it down to say which ones can you actually do. But to me, the essence of brainstorming is to come up with the most amazing ideas, understanding that most of them won't work. But all we need is one in a million, and we can strike gold. Thoughts?
I think that's true. And I think that, you know, a lot of times to me, brainstorming also unleashes sort of your inner desires and sort of the things that you think about, but then you put convention on them and you stop yourself. So an example is, you know, you could be brainstorming about homework problems and how can we not fight this year about homework, and how can we not, you know, have this be a battle all year? And a kid can, under normal circumstances, maybe not say something they're thinking. But if you allow them to brainstorm, and they might say, you know what, if you let me go do my homework in the backyard, I would love it. Well,
yep.
You know, why not? So part of this is like allowing ourselves to go beyond sort of normal constraints and speak the truth a little bit to me.
That's interesting, because in one sense, I kind of go beyond normal constraints and speak the truth is fascinating, because I'm just thinking out loud a little bit, because so often, you know, the brain, our words, we lie to ourselves all the time, and a lot of things are possible. So if you go by those constraints, you can really kind of come up with some stuff. But at the same time, we really don't like constraints in the brainstorming process, because the idea is anything's possible, just to get that stuff out. So to me, brainstorm is really all about play, and Kirsten Milliken, our sometimes guest host, sometimes co-host, we're talking to you. She's an advocate of play, because I think play is that thing that it's spontaneous. It kind of comes about, and it's all about that creative idea that kind of get the juices kind of flowing to spur that thought that you haven't had yet. So in that spirit, openly accepting any idea, unleashing your inner design, as you described, Caroline, it really to me goes back to, this is a play exercise and about creativity and the idea of doing this in an environment without any pressure is really the key. Thoughts?
I think that is the key. And I think that, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again. And so I think that the idea of looking at, you know, collaboratively brainstorming with whoever it is that you're closest to or you have a dilemma with is better to kind of look at different ideas than to stay stuck.
So when you said something collaborative with some people around you, you know, one of the things that I've noticed over the years is that people are pretty opinionated. And when you go collaborate, one of the mistakes I find when people are out there, because there's formal brainstorming, like let's all go have a meeting and get into a room and brainstorm. But brainstorming typically doesn't work like that. It's really more of a in the moment type thing where you're with somebody, you're talking, and you begin to kind of brainstorm maybe less formally. And one of the mistakes I find is people will go to experts and ask for their advice on what they should do. And I don't like that, because it squelches that creativity, and the person walks in and says, you need to do this because it works. And for me, one of the keys is to move away from asking people for their advice, but more ask them for their experience. Because if you ask for their experience, they're not telling you what to do, so you're not obligated to take it. But when they say the experience, you're just trying to take those nuggets, that spark of what they did, or maybe that spark will lead you to kind of something else. So in the spirit of this, to me, when people are brainstorming kind of informally, one of the keys is make sure you don't ask for people's advice, because it actually kind of shuts you down and kind of shuts that play mindset down. Thoughts on that?
Well, I think that that's true. And I think that, you know, there's a couple things too. If you ask for advice, you know, people automatically think you're going to take it. And then when you don't, or they tend to give their opinion more heavily and with more weight and feeling that you're going to, they have an attachment to the outcome. Whereas when you just ask for their experience, or you ask for their thoughts and you sort of openly say, I'm, you know, collecting information, I'm sort of brainstorming, mm-hmm. I'm surveying, then I think it softens people's delivery. And I also think it right away signifies to people you're not necessarily taking all of their thoughts, and you're literally just taking in data. And I think that just, you know, in the realm of what I work in, I think that, you know, a lot of times when I talk with other parents, just as a friend, that's really the better way to go, because otherwise you end up, you know, having people sort of really pursuing their idea versus you being able to sort of open yourself up to what are the possibilities.
Hang on a second. Pursue their idea. I think that's kind of it's going to show up in social media somewhere, I can assure you, Caroline, because I think that's really, like, when you ask their advice, they pursue their idea of kind of what's going on. I want to go to break real quick. When we come back, I want to spend some time talking about some coaching tools or techniques that I know that I use. Caroline, maybe you have some that kind of facilitate the brainstorming process, because I find so much of coaching is really about brainstorming. Before we go to the break, you need to learn more about Caroline. Go to necoaching.com. She's got a lot of great stuff there. She is ADHD coach, and she specializes in parents and teens. And if this show speaks to you, I encourage you to reach out to her. So with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an EDGE Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more, or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Caroline McGuire. We're having a great conversation about brainstorming as a powerful tool to help those with ADHD find a neuroatypical solutions for their brains that are differently wired. And before the break, we were just kind of talking about the nature of brainstorming, how it needs to be playful, it needs to be open up. It's about openly accepting any ideas, unleashing inner desires, and really just kind of playing around with it. Caroline, before the break, I kind of alluded that, you know, coaching is very much about discovery and playing and discovering some things new. And I know that there's lots of techniques that I do or that there's coaching tools that we do that are really designed to help people kind of open their mind and kind of come up with some ideas. So I'm going to start off with one and be interested in your thoughts on another one after this. But one of the things that we do in coaching is location and geography can really have an impact on what you're paying attention to. And literally, I've coached people before where they were struggling with something. I had them get into a closet in the fetal position and begin to tell me what it felt like and what the solution were from there. And then I'd have them get out and stand on a chair in the middle of a room and look out down below and ask them what their solutions were. And it's amazing to me that a simple change in geography can produce some very profound differences in the way a person sees the world, which is just a tool to help people brainstorm to come up with different ideas. Have you ever done that before? And you got any other thoughts on some tools?
Okay. Well, I've never done what you suggested, although I'd be interested. But one of the things that saying to someone that something is an experiment is really useful because it helps them sort of release themselves and allow something maybe a little out of the box, especially when I'm working with parents, because sometimes I'm proposing something like doing homework in the backyard. And it, you know, the kid and I have brainstormed, we've talked about it, but the parents sort of just walking into my office and they're wondering whether we're insane or not. So it really does help to say, you know, something is an experiment. Let's try it out. I also find when people are very resistant to change, to being adaptive, to looking at different solutions, that an idea for even a client or a person with ADHD is to try an experiment. Because, you know, my thought is always sort of, what do you have to lose? You know, if you've been late every day to work for the past 2 years, and you do an experiment for 3 days and it doesn't work, well, it's just 3 more days that you're, you know, not necessarily on track. But if it works, now it could be a game changer. And so I think one of the things that I really try to, you know, talk to people about is, let's run a trial and do an experiment for whatever specific strategy or solution we're contemplating, and, you know, see if it works. And I can give examples, or, you know, we can keep going with different.
Sure, give an example. That'd be great.
So I have this girl right now who we tried all kinds of organizational solutions, and, you know, the papers just didn't come home. They're lost somewhere on the subway. They're floating around somewhere out there. Someone's going to find some great geography homework. So we just were brainstorming, and the girl said to me, what if I used Ziploc bags? And, you know, there's this part of you that's going, what? And she said, you know, they make those really big Ziploc bags now, and if I kept each subject in a Ziploc bag in my backpack, all I have to do is throw it in there. Because we had tried accordion, we had tried everything. And I said, okay, I'm open to it, you know, and it works. It works phenomenally well. And, you know, they sell fancy bags like canvas ones, but the Ziploc ones are, you know, they're pretty hardy. And
yeah,
it really is sort of an out of the box.
By the way, have you ever used the 5-gallon Ziploc bags they sell at Home Depot?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking
they
about.
They totally mine. Rock. It's not silly. I've used that for backpacking and camping equipment stuff. It's those things are amazing. But keep going.
So you just put, you know, all the stuff for one subject in the Ziploc bag, and the kid throws it in the backpack. And, you know, it's an organizational system in that it's categorized. But it's also that if the stuff never made it to and from school, right, for years, right, then now if it does, win. But, you know, part of how we kind of decided on this was we decided we'd run an experiment, that this would be, you know, a 1 week thing. And if it didn't work, you know, you can always wash out the Ziploc bags and use them for something else.
Yep.
And it did work.
Yep. I love that idea. I love that idea. So another game that I play sometimes when I'm working with some clients and we're running into walls, I say, let's go to the land of the unicorns, which is kind of fun for me. And I go, unicorns? Yeah, I love the land of the unicorns, because after all, unicorns exist in the land of unicorns, because anything is really possible. And we'll talk about some things a little bit. It's interesting how people always go to outcome. And I go, the only thing about unicorn land is you can't go to outcome. You have to imagine anything will work in any ways, in any situation, anyhow, anyway. And it's interesting because when you remove the outcome side of it and the pressure of it, and you're really there to play, they can begin, like, even what would an alien do in that type of situation? It's very interesting how they'll come up with an idea that's unexpected that actually is pretty plausible. And then we go run an experiment on kind of what you're doing, because the idea, it's all about that idea generation and that focus of putting pressure on yourself in terms of outcome and stuff and not being able to play really, really squelches that creativity. So these games that we're talking about, the key is to remove that pressure and the ability to play, to come up with the ideas, and then to go find out which one makes some sense.
I think that makes sense to me, because I again, am of the opinion that a lot of times people have ideas sort of in their core, but they don't say them out loud because it's too crazy for them, or it's too outlandish.
Yep.
Or they have dreams or aspirations, or, you know, even thoughts, you know, with some of the young people I work with, they know the college they're at is the wrong college, but, you know, to bring it up and to actually say it out loud that, you know, mom, dad, thank you so much for paying this tuition, but I need to transfer, is a big deal. And so if you say to them, if you had no restraints, what could you do? I think it's a great idea, because I think then you get to the core of what people are really thinking versus, you know, what they think they should be thinking, which
Absolutely.
Is your shoulds that you always talk about.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you what, when we go to break, when we come back, I want to start talking about maybe some solutions that you've had and I've come up with from the brainstorming process that were very unexpected. Before we go to break, everybody, go check out Caroline's website at NE, stands for NewEnglandCoaching.com, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Caroline McGuire, and we're talking the value of brainstorming as a tool. We're speaking to parents a little bit, but also this is really plausible kind of across the board. And we talked about that with the nature of brainstorming, about it being really kind of a playful type thing, some games that you can play to facilitate the brainstorming process. Now I want to kind of talk about what brainstorming has produced. And, you know, Caroline, we have a lot of interviews on Attention Talk Radio and Attention Talk Video that illustrate this. One of them that particularly comes to mind was a woman I was coaching. If you go to YouTube, go Attention Talk Video and Time or Timers, it'll come up. And this one particular woman, she had ADHD and she was struggling with time, and she went out and got a timer and it worked for a little while, and it just got stale. She got bored with it. And we started brainstorming, like, you know, how could you make this exciting and whatever? And what she came up with, the notion, is having a bunch of different timers that she would rotate. She's got like a time timer. She's got a sand timer. She's got an egg timer. She's got this thing that flips up and down. There's that timer now that I saw the other day where it shoots off. It's like a bunch of puzzle pieces, and it will keep going until you all put the funky pieces back into the right hole. And those timers, the variety of rotating them around was what she needed in order to pay attention to it. And it was fascinating, because I love sharing that story and that video in our industry among other coaches, because they all kind of go, oh, wow, who'd have thought of that? But it's obvious can be now, but it wasn't at the time. And it was all from a brainstorming exercise. So you got any stories that come to mind?
Well, just one quick thing about brainstorming. I think the big thing too is, you know, I don't know if any of people listening ever worked in corporate America, but my experience in corporate America was they would bring you sometimes to a nice place to to brainstorm, but no one really wanted to hear what you had to say, because they wanted you to somehow like brainstorm your way into their solutions. And I think as spouses with ADHD, as parents, we can fall into that. So just when you start to remember how it feels when someone brings you in a room to allegedly brainstorm, and it's really not about that. And I think that's the big thing too, because when you remove this sort of judgment and you let things go and you say, you know, instead of saying ADHD spouse, how do we get you to, you know, actually clean up after yourself or whatever, to try to make it a more collaborative, open process, you might come up with something really fun. So I just wanted to say that because I've been meaning to say it.
Oh yeah, no.
Go ahead.
I just want to accent. It's very good how you go into those situations all the time, fall into their ideas. It's a manipulative process. It's really not a brainstorming type session that's open ended. And I think that can put a little bit of pressure on you, which kind of deadens the atmosphere and inhibits the ability to do that. But needless to say, that's a great point. But continue.
So what I was going to say is, I think some of the better solutions that have ever come out of brainstorming with people are those that did remove constraints and did really, allow people to try to see, you know, what is it that we can do? So some of them have been in my professional life, some of them have been in my personal life, but you know, I think one of the big things I like to do as a framework around brainstorming is don't pretend you're going to become a totally different person than you are. So for instance, I may be a person who is a little bit messy in my car. I will admit to this. And, if you're messy and you lose things, it's not a great combination. So brainstorming with your spouse, with my spouse, can be about, well, what are we going to do about this car situation? Because, you know, he doesn't want his car that way, and he doesn't want my car that way. And we can't keep, you know, living in a pigsty. And by the way, children are responsible for like 95% of mess in the car. And every mother out there agrees with me. But, you know, one of the things you have to do is just really be open to different things. And so one thing we decided was we hired a high school kid and he comes and he cleans our cars occasionally. But like it's something that you come up with because you say, okay, like in our wild, you know, unicorn fantasy, what would it be? And I was like, it would be that somebody comes and does this because I never get to a place, you know. And
yep.
Those are the things that you have to kind of like let loose. And instead of saying, well, we can't find someone, what could this be? It could cost too much. Just say, like, in my wildest fantasy, like, that's what would happen.
Yeah. So I like that idea, but I gotta plan this because this happened. This is a true story. Back when I was a teenager, I lived in Virginia. We were living in the country all the time, and we'd always stop off and get like Dr. Pepper bottles and stuff like that. And I remember coming to light sometimes, and all the bottles would come running out from under the seats. And they're, you know, if you're a driver and you got a stick shift, it was a little messy. And my mother was brainstorming one night, like, you know, this is really a problem. We need to kind of keep the cars clean. And she came up with this novel idea and went out and bought some bathroom trash cans, these little small things that you put behind the passenger seat. And you have that stuff, you just dump it into that trash can, which is it sounds silly. Absolutely amazing, because I've seen those bags that you kind of hook on a knob, but you got to wrestle them and you got to fight them, and you don't really do it. But if you have something, you just reach around, you just drop it into the thing, and then you go to a gas station, it's all there. You just kind of dump it out. It was amazing to me what a profound impact it made on keeping a car clean. Maybe not gym bags and stuff like that, but it really came from just like, here's a problem. What would really make a lot of sense and being open to it? And all of a sudden, we had this kind of little different things. And never before and never since have I seen that happen, but it was a very workable solution. Another thing that you spurred a thought on is years ago, I was working with a woman. We were talking about time, and she was she struggled with time and she struggled with calendars. And I was like, wow, you know, what is time like for you? She said, well, it's like a river. It was kind of fascinating. I'm going to digress for a second because I just began to listen. She's like, you know, when it's the rainy season, that river runs fast. And other times there's a drought and it runs really, really slow. And sometimes the river is really wide and expansive and you don't feel like you're going, but you are. But then there's the rapids. And as she described this thing was really fascinating to me. I said, well, if time is like a river, how would you see time? And she said, well, it's really more of a timeline. And we said, well, I tell you what, why don't you try to use a timeline instead of a calendar? And it was fascinating because she came back a week later and it was profound, the difference. And I've actually given presentations at different parts of the country where I'll actually throw up a day's look at an Outlook calendar and I have a timeline. It's the exact same calendar, but it's kind of like looking at one in English and converting the other one to Spanish because you have to look at it differently. But that brainstorming process produced this thing that I had never done before. You know, I've never been to a self-help section of a bookstore that had a book of timelines. They're all calendars. But that, what does it look like to you, produced this unique thing that really worked for her, which is the power of brainstorming. So I share that with you. As I talk about that, anything else come to mind from your past as unique solutions as a result of brainstorming?
Yeah, I mean, so it's interesting because when I work with clients, you know, sometimes they're, you know, frustrated. They've sort of had, you know, every book in Barnes & Noble, as you would say, and they've bought a bunch of stuff and it's necessarily all work. And I had this client and it happened to be that we were talking about play. Kirsten Milliken's ears are going to be like ringing tonight.
Yep.
And we were talking about what, as a child, did you kind of like the most about play? And she told me the story about how she loved to set up the Barbies. She loved to set up their house and their story and their clothes and their, like, background. And I jokingly said, boy, I would never have spent so much time on that. That's amazing. But again, it really spoke to her learning and her processing style. And so what we realized about study skills and other things is that we had to make it all like Barbie. We had to make it fun and we had to make it about the setup. And while I personally would never use 5 different color pens to take notes or anything, she was the kind of person who enjoyed that and it made her engage with the material.
Yep.
And it was really like Barbie. It was all about the setup. And really the solutions we came up with, and actually she's doing so, so well, it all came from this idea of saying, what's fun for you? Like, again, your fairies and unicorns. Like, if you could do anything for a day, when you were a kid, how did you have fun? What was fun for you? Because those are like the core ways that you are, how you are and how you have fun. And, you know, you can make certain things fun. You just have to jazz it up a little bit. So that was one of the things that when you were talking, I was thinking about Barbie and I was thinking, oh, God, you know, that's the thing. It was like, how could she make it about the way that she had fun?
Yep. So you've sparked. I got to tell a story to tell another story. I'm working with a guy who with ADD. And working with him, we began to realize he's always on the move. He never sits still. Always on the move. And there was a little bit of a struggle between him and his wife because his wife was like, you know, come on, let's just sit down. Let's just relax. Let's just watch a couple movies. And in working with him over a period of time, we began to realize is to sit down and relax and watch 4 hours of movie to him was very stressful. He was like pacing the cage. He was relaxed if he was up and kind of moving around because it just kind of calmed him down, which, you know, is not that uncommon for those with ADD. And I was talking to him like, and he actually said, you know, sit down at a couch and be still it's anxiety. It's not relaxing for me. I've got to be moving. Yet my wife, when she's sitting down, I mean, if she's moving, it's anxiety. And to sit on the couch, that's relaxation. And I said, well, what would it be like for both of you to have both of those and be connected? That conversation, we were brainstorming and we kind of came up with the ideas. He just comes home and he sits on puts a bar stool in front of an exercise bike and gives his wife a glass of wine. She sits there and he gets on the exercise bike and starts riding and they have a conversation. They get kind of connected. Well, I thought it was the coolest. The coolest thing since sliced bread. And in talking to it, you know, this does happen out there. He goes out there and his spouse wasn't really wild about the concept. But I took that idea to somebody else who was basically saying, yeah, you know, I kind of can't sit still. And I shared this story with them. And they said, oh, my God, that's spectacular. And they did it, and it really worked. And literally, they come home from work, and he jumps on the exercise bike and gives his wife a glass of wine, and they've had these incredible conversations of connection because they're both relaxed in that situation. Their definitions are a little different, but we were able to brainstorm about how we can adjust that environment to work for the two of them, which goes back to the power of it. And the whole purpose of tonight's show was to talk about if you're a parent or anybody with ADHD and you're neuroatypical, you're not necessarily going to find the solutions in the self-help section of the bookstore. And I think the key, Caroline, is to take the pressure off. Just brainstorm for the wackiest ideas. You know most of them are not going to work, but they don't have to. You just have to find one that does. The more pressure you can take off that happens. We've shared a few stories and tools that we can kind of do it. And here we showed some examples of what it looks like. It's really pretty profound and a game changer. So I want to wrap this up here in a minute or two. Any other thoughts you want to share before we wrap it?
No, I mean, I think the biggest thing I would say to folks is just if you can allow yourself to let go, then you will have better solutions. First off, I'm going to try that exercise bike thing because that's exactly my problem. I do not find relaxing. I think that it's also like the person that you're working with to allow you to be who you really are, because brainstorming only works if it's real. And so I love that example that you're ending with the bike, because, people can try to make you something you're not, but it doesn't work.
Yep. So I can't help but pause and tell this story. This is one of my favorite stories. It's not so much a brainstorming one, but an awareness and an openness and letting go of outcome. Because you said let go. And I think the key is to let go of the outcome and embrace the process. So Caroline, a couple years ago, I was coaching this guy. And, you know, we call those with ADHD verbal processors, the ones that need to kind of talk out loud. And often they'll talk out loud and the other person just be silent and they arrive at their own solution. And I was mirroring back to this guy how much of a verbal processor he was, and he didn't like the idea that he was a verbal processor. And so it was between sessions one time, but I was working with him over a period of time on what worked. And this is, I love this story. He was driving down the road one day and he was like grinding on an issue. And he said, you know, all of a sudden I thought I've been thinking about this for 2 hours and not getting anywhere. And he said, you know, Jeff, you were on my shoulder saying I was a verbal processor. And he let go of outcome in that very moment. He looked up and he saw a Walmart store and he drove into the parked. By the way, he's telling me this story because after this story, he drove, driving down the road, he called me and said, you know, Jeff, just guess what happened? I was driving on this issue. I was thinking about you. I saw a Walmart store and I walked in, and you know why? They have greeters at a Walmart store. And you know what they ask you? They ask you, can I help you? And he walked in and he said, like, you know, I knew the guy was going to ask me, can he help me? And he said, well, where are your mops? Wait a second. Can I think out loud for a second? He said, I babbled on for about 90 seconds, came up with a solution, thanked him for his time, went out through the cashiers, got in my car and called you the first thing. And it was kind of funny because it was in that moment he let go of the outcome and he embraced it. And all of a sudden he walked up to a complete and total stranger in Walmart, knowing what they were going to do, used that person to verbal process to solve a problem that he had struggled with for about 2 hours, and then kind of move forward. And it was just amazing to me that's the type of awareness that you get when you let go of outcome and all of a sudden something like a Walmart presents itself. It reveals itself to you. And you go, hey, I can do this. And all of a sudden he moves himself forward. And last I heard, he was really embracing it. So I want to give you a moment or two to comment on that story. It's one of my favorite stories to tell people as an illustration of if you let go of the outcome and you open your mind, all of a sudden wacky things like that can happen. So thoughts?
I mean, I think that it's a great story. And first of all, I'm a total verbal processor. Welcome to the club, buddy. It's so funny that he didn't like it, but you know, everybody has trouble accepting who they are. And I'll tell you that I've had many clients who, you know, resist the idea of something very similar to that. That's just the way your brain is wired. And, you know, I think that if you, you could use dragon speak and stuff too, rather than Walmart greeters. But if you kind of understand that that's what you need, you know, you have such a better time moving forward. Because, you know, it really allows you to use who you are rather than who you want to be.
Yep.
And I think that kind of acceptance, it really can be the byproduct of just experimentation and brainstorming.
So I'm gonna wrap this up here. There's a guy I was coaching. He's a consultant for a major company, Fortune 500 company, and I was coaching for a period of time about creativity and brainstorming. And he said, you know, you got to watch this documentary called Art and Copy on Netflix. And I've watched it probably a gazillion times. And there's a guy on it who he was doing the ads for I Want My MTV and Got Milk and some other stuff. And he says, you know, there's nothing in this world that creativity can't solve. And it was a profound statement that he said in that process, because what we're talking about right now is creativity and the brainstorming process to become creative. Because at the end of the day, I think I'm subscribing to the guy. There's nothing creativity kind of can't solve. And we've given everybody some examples of some very creative solutions that really worked. And I think the key out there is to go out there and actually play, have fun. Don't ask people for their advice, ask people for their experience, and use some of the tools that we have to be creative and use brainstorming. Because after all, if you're neuroatypical, what's going to work for you is not going to work for anybody else. And that's why I think this is a very powerful tool. So I want to wrap this up. Any final comments before we close the show?
No, just, you know, I think that it can really work. And by the way, most of the great things in this world have been accomplished through solutions that were a little bit out of the box. And, if it isn't working, try something that you sort of fantasize about, because that might be the answer.
If it's not working, go wacky early. That's all I'd say. So, Caroline, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you.
Everybody, check her out at necoaching.com. If you'd like to learn a little bit about me, go to digcoaching.com. And with that, we hope you've enjoyed this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care. Next week, tune in. We've got another great show for you. Take care.